Okay, so we are we're talking a little bit about the Chasam Sofer and the Chasam Sofer on Pesach, and I want to frame things in a way which I think is interesting. And what I really want to try to do is not give a collection of ideas from the Chasam Sofer as much as try and develop based on a bunch of his ideas a particular perspective on the Seder, what the goal of the Seder is all about, and the way that he did it. The Chasam Sofer is known, just to go over some things that we've spoken about. On the one hand, he is one of the greatest poskim, one of the Gedolei HaAchronim. The Chasam Sofer is a person that, in so many halachic discussions, his shitas get quoted. He happens to be often understood to be one of the great defenders of tradition or of the Mesorah, Chadash Asur Min HaTorah, impacting his psak, his particular worldview. He's a dominant manhig to the extent to which even nowadays people look in terms of being adherents, followers of the Chasam Sofer. He is massively, massively important as a posek. He happens to be a wonderful darshan. He's a person that wrote, we've quoted some of his insights and ideas over the year. He's fantastic in that sense. And he's one of the great Baalei Machshava, the drush of the Chasam Sofer and his tshuvas itself. The Chasam Sofer, as Baal Mach, we spoke about the Chasam Sofer and Tamei HaMitzvos and other topics. He's massively chashuv and massively important. There is one element of the Chasam Sofer, which for me, I can't view anything he does not through a particular context. And that is that the Chasam Sofer was a Rosh Yeshiva and an absolutely, based on all accounts that I'm aware of, a fantastic teacher of Torah. So many things about the way, and we don't have many records about how all different Achronim gave shir and the like, or what their interactions with their Talmidim were like. But the Chasam Sofer did so many things that when people speak about like the year in Israel and like what you're looking for with like Rebbeim, looking for like he was doing that in Presper a couple hundred years ago. The Chasam Sofer was, beginning every day before Shir with like 15, 20 minutes of Musar, of Chovos HaLevavos, before Purim, spending time, in Chodesh Adar, learning Maseches Megillah, also Beit HaMincha Maariv, and like finishing Maseches Megillah together as like as a yeshiva. Having Friday night, like giving on Chumash, Chumash, Rashi, Ramban, like, Friday night. He would host Talmidim in his home for meals, the Seder included. Yeah, you have records of Talmidim describing what his Seder was like. He was hosting them. The way he would teach was even innovative, not giving a formal presentation, but reading the Gemara as if it was the first time he ever saw the Gemara and making basic mistakes so the Talmidim could see how the Chasam Sofer learned a Sugya. And in many ways, he was just in remarkably impressive mechanech. I can't. I'm so struck by him and the way he interacted with Talmidim. The Sefer, I was in Yerushalayim a couple of weeks ago. I started off at my parents' apartment. My father had a Sefer Minhagei Chasam Sofer. He had a lot of Chasam Sofer svarim. He's writing the Chasam Sofer. That's why we're doing it. So my father had a wonderful Sefer on Minhagei. But they go through collections of different writings of even the way he spoke to his Talmidim and the way that he interacted with them. It's remarkably impressive, the things he did, which later on people pick up on a little bit. It's remarkable. The ultimate night of Chinuch is the night of the Seder. The Seder is a night v'gadat l'bincha, and it's so intriguing. I can't say that, going through every writing of the Chasam Sofer on the Haggadah or on Pesach, but I can say that I think there is at least a particular theme which comes out of his writing. A particular theme in terms of the way that he viewed the Seder night. I wrote here like making Pesach come alive, making sure that Pesach would be a unique and unforgettable experience. And I want to sort of put together a bunch of ideas or mahalchot of the Chasam Sofer, hopefully that can frame for us a little bit of what Pesach is really all about. Let me begin by just noting a famous comment of the Chasam Sofer in Tshuvas, because it highlights even like the emotional excitement. The Chasam Sofer points out, this is his particular shita. There are those who have questioned this a little bit, but the Chasam Sofer in Chelek Hey of his Tshuvas, Nashmatos and Siman Kuf Tzadivav, the Chasam Sofer in a very famous line points out that Mida Oraisa, there are a lot of mitzvahs that involve achila. There's a mitzvah of achilas karban Pesach. There's a mitzvah of achilas truma potentially. There's a mitzvah of achilas karbanos. There's a mitzvah of achilas maaser sheni. Chasam Sofer points out that the only mitzvahs aseh d'oraisa of eating that remains is Seder night. It's our once a year chance to mekayim a mitzvahs aseh d'oraisa that you are mekuyam through achila. And in that sense, it already sort of frames it. It's a unique kind of a night. It's a unique kind of a night where we're dealing with d'oraisas and unique d'oraisas for nowadays. I mean, that definitely is, I think, at least the beginning of a perspective as far as the Chasam Sofer on Pesach night. But let's dig in a little bit. In Torah Moshe, Sefer and Chumash, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach section, he has a diak. It's a diak which is going to, I believe, frame a lot of what the Chasam Sofer does and a lot of what the night is really about. We know that the Rasha, when he asks a question on Seder night, so the response to the Rasha is very, very harsh. Biaf ata hakeh shinav. And you too should. Now the precise meaning of the word hakeh is a little bit vague, but it's interpreted by some to mean when the Rasha comes and Rasha asks his question, you should essentially knock his teeth out. And many of the Mefarshim on the Haggadah are bothered by this hakeh shinav, that this idea of knocking out his teeth, what exactly we're coming to do. Some dilute the meaning of that phrase. It doesn't really mean to knock out his teeth. It means something else. But for the Chasam Sofer, he pointed out a little bit of a diuk in a different two words there, not the hakeh and shinav, but rather the af ata. We speak to the father and the father of the Rasha, and we say to the Rasha, he's motziato min haklal, the af ata hakeh shinav. And that phrase, v'afata, says the Chasam Sofer, is meant to convey something important to the father. One of, I think, what is so critical about the world of chinuch, says the Chasam Sofer, is that a parent feels responsibility for the way that his kids are going to turn out. Now, obviously, parents are limited. Obviously, kids have free choice. Parents can do wonderful things, and children can nevertheless make choices sometimes to go in a different path. That can undoubtedly happen. But says the Chasam Sofer, there's often an element of chinuch, which really does matter. And says the Chasam Sofer, you have a phenomenon sometimes. Who's at the Seder? The father is a good from guy, and his kid's a Rasha. Says the Chasam Sofer, how does that gap occur? How is it possible that the father, again, in certain cases, it's not referring to all cases, but in certain cases, Chasam Sofer, because there are times where a parent can keep Torah mitzvos, but there are two ways that a parent keeps Torah and mitzvos. One way a parent keeps Torah and mitzvos is by keeping it with a certain sense of fervor, with a certain excitement, with a passion. Shem Shamayim is Shagar Befiv. He's always talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. It seems that Torah is very much alive. It seems like what we're doing is really a chashuv thing. And when Shabbos comes and you're in that home, you feel like it's a new chalos called Shabbos. You feel like it's a new time and a new opportunity. Alternatively, says Chasam Sofer, there are sometimes people who keep Torah mitzvos, but it's so dry. It's so dry. And it's so, the word I would use, it seems like it's a bunch of old rituals. It doesn't seem like it's alive. It seems like it's practices that you do, but you're never speaking about it with meaning. You're never speaking about it as if it has a certain kind of significance. It's not a thing that you happen to do. I mean, says Chasam Sofer, the nafka mina is sometimes the impact it has on your children. If it's alive and they see that you're passionate, excited, authentic, real, inspired, so that also impacts them. But if your Avodas Hashem is so stale and so dry, they look around and they say, he's giving Shabbos, but why? It's so foolish. It's so simple. It's so irrational. It's so void of meaning. So those kinds of kids, you know what happens? Those kinds of kids often become those Rishayim, which are Motzi Atzmei Min HaKlal, which will leave the Klal. And then Chasam Sofer, part of the message of the Baal HaGadol is, V'afata, those words are ringing a little bit. The words are necessary there, but it's, and you too, don't just blame your kid, but own up a little bit and accept the degree of responsibility for maybe the way that you modeled authentic Torah and authentic Yiddishkeit. Again, not all the time, obviously, when people struggle, go off, become whatever they become. Is it not on the parents necessarily, but sometimes and so forth, that experience of responsibility. Because Chasam Sofer felt this sense of responsibility, his Seder night, the way I would describe it, was a night of indescribable amounts of tzimtzum. What do I mean by tzimtzum? Of constriction. If you're the Chasam Sofer and you're looking at the Haggadah, and at your Seder are, aside from your family, are also your Talmidim, the Maharam Shik, I think in Tshuva's right, he was by the Chasam Sofer once for a Seder. These people are all sitting there. And what do you want to do? You have so many chidushim to say. You have so many things that you want to just be able to like give over a new chop here and a new chop there, and you have tamim, they're going to eat that. They're going to love it. They're going to love it. What did the Chasam Sofer do at his Seder? Kol isukav ba'amiris ha'agadat ben hagi Chasam Sofer, page 124. Lohaya ella imbanav ubenosav haktanim. The primary goal of the Chasam Sofer was just to teach his children, his sons and his daughters. Ubir lahem kol teva v'teva. He explained the Haggadah to them, what it really meant. V'tochen ha'inyan me ha'agadah. And the primary yisod that's coming out of the Haggadah, the primary content. V'lo amar shum drush. It was not vort night in the Chasam Sofer's house. It's not a chance to say nice, cute ideas that people could hear and then be able to say over next year at the Haggadah. No, that's not what he was doing. He's Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer was doing was he was just giving over pshat. Giving over pshat. Chasam Sofer also understood that part of the goal isn't just to give over content to children on the Seder night, but it is an opportunity to give over. This is in Drush Chasam Sofer, one of his Drushot Shabbos Haggadol. B'shasha nachlin yosh musapir yitzit Mitzrayim lebanenu. When we have the opportunity to share with the next generation ideas of Yitzit Mitzrayim, that is a time lahashrish libosim b'yiris Hashem. It's a time period to infuse them with Yiras Shamayim, because says Chasam Sofer, an idea we quote referenced recently from the Ramchal and Derech Hashem as well, because comes from the Ari HaKadosh, that when it comes to Seder night, the same Koach that existed in the world at the original Pesach exists now also. It's a night of massive, massive spiritual potential. And because it's a night of massive spiritual potential, we are reliving the night of Seder night. And therefore, it's not about confusing people by a fancy vort or a fancy gematria. It's about focusing on keeping the main thing the main thing, and making sure that it is abundantly clear that this is a night of power, it's a night of koach, and our goal is to give over in a certain sense primary messages and primary ideals that need to be experienced, and everything we do is geared towards that. So we're going to talk about a couple of things we do Seder night, which for the Chasam Sofer are part of the chinuch experience, part of what we're trying to do and recreate. And it's not true only if you're giving a Seder and sharing it with children, but what we are supposed to experience also for the Seder to be what the Seder is supposed to be. So let's begin by noting a couple of things. Source number 7, the Sheikh Chasam Sofer al Torah and Nani Pesach, Ki Yishalcha Bincha Machar Lemor. Many point out, they quote from Reb Chaim Brisker and others, that one of the differences between the mitzvah that we have all year long to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night is that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night has to be done derech she'ila v'tshuva. It's not enough to give over content, but it has to be that kids ask questions, ki yishalcha bincha lemor, then you respond with answers. That is the manishtanas. The kid has to ask the questions. That's a critical part of the Seder. We do things in Chazal, the Gemara we spoke about as far as Karpas goes, but many Mefarshim explain many things we do on Seder night is Kadesh Yish'alu HaTinokos. So kids are going to be able to ask questions. Wonders the Chasam Sofer, why is it significant that kids ask questions? If we get them the content, does it really matter if they ask the question and then we gave them the answer, or if we just give them the answer ourselves? Like, what exactly is this idea of getting the kids to ask questions? What are we trying to motivate the kids with to be able to ask questions? We at our Seder, we have, I don't know, marshmallows. Anytime a kid, age appropriate, each kid, depending on what, you know, what would be good for them. Unfortunately, I think we're trending towards like brisket. But whenever a kid asks a particular question, so you ask the question, so you get a marshmallow. That's to encourage the idea of kids asking, what's so chashav about kids asking questions? Wouldn't it be good enough if they got the same content anyway? Says Chasam Sofer, from a pure perspective of content, there's absolutely no difference if you say it and tell them it directly, or they ask a question, you give the answer. But says Chasam Sofer, v'yesh lomar ki yadua, shalel ha-pesach hu misugol lintoa b'leiv ha-ben emuna ha-tehora. This is the night which is set aside, the night which is built into it, is a unique capacity to give over to children real emuna. And in order to do that, that when people ask questions and you get them interested and you engage them, so it's not that they're going to know the information. It really impacts them in a much more powerful way, becomes part of them. But it's your question. and we're answering and talking about what you want us to talk about. We do certain things that are a little bit odd, and the kid says, "Why are you doing that?" And you've drawn them in at that particular moment. It's a nice structure on questions and answers. Kishalcha bincha. So we say, okay, here's a question. Now let's go. We have the opportunity to draw them in. Okay, so Atchazim is Tafar, and I want to really share with you three additional Torahs of the Chazim Sofer that are going to be awesome. Chazim Sofer, Seder night, is keep things simple and keep things focused. Says the Chazim Sofer, we're not trying to give fancy drashas. We're trying to give over particular ideas and to be used as a night to appreciate. This is night of Tzitz Mitzrayim. It's a night which is an opportunity to be mashrish bilibeinu, to bring into our hearts certain values. The way we do that is by having kids ask questions. It has to be participatory. They have to be engaged. They have to be on fire. They have to be interested in all that we are doing. Three Torahs of Chazim Sofer, which I think point to the way that we try to do this and what some of the underlying discussions are really all about. Source number six on the sheet. It's Chazim Sofer. It's an amazing Torah. Chazim Sofer is trying to understand, as the night is focused on children, what the interaction is, the give and take between the Chacham and his father. The Chacham and his father, the Chacham has mixed messages. Some of us may know the Chacham, the Nusach of the Chacham's question is a really intriguing kind of a question. What's the question that we ask? Sorry, let me see if I can find it. The Chazim Sofer's question is like this. Ma ha'edos v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Hashem alkeinu eschem. What are these chugodim which you were commanded? Eschem, it's about you, not about us. Not about us. On the other hand, v'afata amar lo kachos ha'pesach im abtir achar pesach ha'fi komen. Again, chacham mahu omer, chacham, what does he say? Ma ha'edos v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Hashem elokeinu eschem. So on the one hand, he's elokeinu. On the one hand, he's ours. On the other hand, it's eschem, and you're really commanded. What's the Chacham really bothered by? What are these chukim and mishpatim? What's going on? So the Chacham is over the following. The Katan has no idea what's happening Seder night. Because the Katan knows something. All kids know something, which is they're not chayiv in Torah mitzvos. Katanim are patur from Torah mitzvos. All kids know that. And then suddenly comes along Seder night, and the kid becomes the focal point. Suddenly he becomes really the center of all of this. And the kid doesn't know what's going on so much. The kid's not so sure. Like, he's a smart kid. So he's trying to figure out, what do I do? So says the Chacham, like, Mimanafshach. If I'm really chayev, so I should really be chayev. If I'm not really chayev, so why am I the center point? Like, what exactly is going on? He's not sure how to figure out this night. Because usually we do things for the adult Torah mitzvot, and we try to bring along the kids to the adult Torah mitzvot. But here we're gearing. It's all towards the kid himself. So what are we really doing? That's Chacham Sofer's question. Chacham Sofer develops a very, very beautiful yesod, but he begins by asking another question. The other question just follows. You know, we'll share the yesod. Chacham Sofer, it's a yesod that comes from Chovas HaLevavos, who's a big fan of Chovas HaLevavos. Chacham Sofer, the following yesod. Chovas HaLevavos, there's a big difference between people that are medactic to only do what they're chayef to do, and people that go a level above. If you view your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam as only as an eved, I'm an eved of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so what you're going to essentially end up doing is whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam tells you to do, you're going to do no more, no less. I'll do whatever he says. I'm a doctor, Chlisara, I'll do everything, but no more, no less. Says the Chovas HaLevavos, but a person that's in love with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so obviously you're going to do much, much more. If it's a night, if you're in love, you're going to do more than just you are required, than just you are required to do. That, Derech Agav, says Chacham Sofer, is pshat in an amazing, beautiful Torah. People in the Sugya. Shachris is connected Avram, like Martel says in Brachos. Mincha is connected Yitzchak. Marav is connected Yaakov. Yaakov is referred to as the Bechir Sheva Avos. Yaakov is the greatest, in a certain sense, of all of the Avos. Yet Yaakov's tefillah of Arvis is the one tefillah with maybe Rishus. Wonders, the Chazim Sofer, as just like the Rashi and Shabbos, the She'ultos, as is the Pnei Yoshua, and many other Torah Tamima. But why would Yaakov's tefillah be less significant than the tefillah of everyone else? Why would Yaakov's tefillah of Mariv, if he's greater, why would his tefillah be a tefillah of Rishus? Why is that what he would establish, a tefillah of Rishus? Says Chazim Sofer for the following reason. Yaakov was greater. And therefore, you know what Yaakov introduced? The tefillah that you daven when you don't really have to. the tefillah that you daven when you aren't really required to. Because the more basic level is to do what you need to do. So I'm chayav to daven shachar, daven shachar. I'm chayav daven mincha, daven mincha. But you know what Marav is? Marav is a tefillah which may Ikar HaDin was not really established as a tefillah schova. But you know why? Because it is the best way to demonstrate Avas Hashem. The best way to demonstrate love of Ribbono Shel Olam is that even though I'm not chayav, I'm still going to do it. Which is why lechora, the pshat is, this man now, the Rosh Gemara tells us, we were mekabel Marav kechova. What does it mean we were mekabel Marav kechova? It means that even though it really was optional, we relate to it as if it's a chiyuv, i.e., we always want to do it. We always want to do it because it's a tefillah which demonstrates our love of Ribbono Shel Olam. So whenever we go above and beyond what we're chayiv to do, that is a way that we demonstrate the extent to which we want to really do something for someone. You know, the mashal mahadav redomeh. If I'm going to a store, so my wife says to me, oh, you're going to that store, can you pick up X? So I go into that store, and X is there, and I pick up X. I also then see Y, which I know she likes a lot. And I go and I pick up Y. You're not chayiv to. But how do you demonstrate your love? Not by doing X. She asked me to do X. Okay, I feel a sense of a commitment. If she says to do X, I'll do X. You know, that's part of a contract, and it's a marriage contract. But when you go and you pick up the additional item, that's how you demonstrate the love in a certain sense. The fact is that on Pesach night, we're so focused on children. We're so focused on children because in a certain sense, children are those who are not chayiv. And we're trying to show that our commitment to Torah and mitzvot, our commitment, the Avas Hashem that we have on this night is not limited to the questions like who has a technical chiyuv and who doesn't have a technical chiyuv. It's not about a chiyuv. It's about the Ava that you have that you want more people doing this. You want it to spread beyond, like the Rambam describes it is in Sefer HaMitzvot, but Avas Hashem, you love Hashem, you want other people also to get in on this love. You want it also, says Chatam Sofer, that's why we begin even, part of Magid in the beginning, it's one of the first messages after the Man Ishtana, because they're freaking out what's going on. So what do we say? Afil kulan chacham, kulan nevonim, kulan zekenim, kulan yodim es haTorah, mitzvah alin l'saper, b'yitzias Mitzrayim, v'chol hamarbe l'saper, b'yitzias Mitzrayim, harezeh meshubach. Why is it so important we keep on talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim? We know the content. We know the information. Step two, we also have already been Yotzei Archiv of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why are we being marbeh? Why speak more about it? Says Chasam Sofer, because if you're just Yotzei Archiv, you've shown that you're like an Eved a little bit. If you're, however, part of something greater, if we're able to become sensitive to the fact, says Chasam Sofer, the Avas Hashem we're supposed to have, so Pesach night is a night where we demonstrate that Ava. Where it's not about who's technically obligated. Let's expand it to children. Let's go all night, even beyond. B'nei Brak, all night. We're going to go Michal and Mark, Lissaper, B'nei Brak, Raisin Meshubach. That's part of what it is for Chasm Sofer. One of the ways, it's the same Torah as V'afatah HaKeshinav. One of the ways you create an environment where people are going to be excited is by not just sticking too much, like the letter of the law. Oh, it's a Yotze? Done. But whether it's something above and beyond that, and it demonstrates a certain kind of Ava. A certain kind of Ava, that's Chasam Sofer, a very beautiful idea based on Chovas Levavos, it's why Yaakov's Tefillah, it's also a word about the Ben HaChacham and what we're doing. In order to make it experiential, to make it come alive, we don't just go above and beyond, and we don't just ask questions, we do something else also. And here is an amazing Torah of Chasam Sofer. I think this Torah is just, it's masterful, it's just beautiful. It's like it's elegant. If I had a better English vocabulary, I would use more synonyms to describe what it is. It's just, it's awesome. There's a mitzvah of L'saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Many, many of the Mefarshim wonder how come there does not seem to be a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Typically, when we do mitzvahs, at least most mitzvahs that we do, we are Misaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're Misaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. We make a bracha. Sorry, most mitzvahs that we do, we make a bracha. So I'm taking lulav, I make a berachas ha-mitzvah. If I'm going to be blowing shofar, we make a berachas ha-mitzvah. Nevertheless, this mitzvah does not have, we don't seem to make a bracha beforehand. Why aren't we making a bracha beforehand? So why isn't there a bracha at all? So many Rishonim speak about this question here in the Masifta Haggadah,
they have 13 different answers to why exactly there is no, to why there's no bracha that gets established. Apparently, there's a lot to say on this particular topic. There is a Torah, says the Chasam Sofer, there is an answer which is out there. This is quoted in the Shibuy Halakha. Here's a quote, it's in the Shibuy Halakha, which is the following. At the end of Magid, this is such a good Torah, please listen up. At the end of Magid, we do say a bracha, Abasher Ga'alanu V'Ga'alav Oseinu, right before we drink the second cup. We do say a bracha, Abasher Ga'alanu V'Ga'alav Oseinu, a bracha about the Ge'ula and all that we experienced. Says the Shibuy Halakha, that bracha of Asher Ga'alanu is the bracha that we're reciting on Sipuri, Yetzit Mitzrayim. It's a bracha about the Geula, a bracha about what we went through. That we're yotzei the bracha of Sipuri, Yetzit Mitzrayim, to the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, which we make at the end, which we make at the end of Magid. Says the Chasam Sofer, how does that answer make sense? The Gemara tells in Pesach Mandaf Zayin and Megillah and Daf Chaf Aleph that Kol Mitzvos Kulam Mevarech Aleihen Over Lasi Yasan. You have to always recite a bracha before you do a mitzvah. So first I recite a bracha, and then I take my lulav. First I recite a bracha, and then we blow shofar. It should have been first you say the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu. First say the bracha then, and then go through Magid. Why is it at the end of Magid? Why is it at the end? What's really going on here? Why are we delaying it? So says Chasam Sofer, an amazing insight. He says, the night of Pesach is about reliving the journey and history of the Jewish people. That's what we're doing. We're trying to make it all, again, come alive. And you know what happens for it to come alive? What do we say? Maschilim b'gnus, Simon b'shvach, what do we say? Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. We go through our history. We go through our history. Our history was that we were ovdei avodah zarah. And when we say that, we're supposed to feel and experience really that deep connection to who we once were. We feel when we say that like we were ovdei avodah zarah. And as the night of Pesach progresses, says Chasam Sofer, so finally we're in Mitzrayim now, and then finally we get out, and then finally we go to Matan Torah, and then finally we're able to receive it. And the night is finally, at the end is Asher Gana, we have a certain Geula. It's a process, it's a process. Says Chasam Sofer, if you look at the Gemara in Pesachim, there is one Birchas HaMitzvah that we recite after doing the mitzvah. There's one Birchas HaMitzvah, Tobit's expanded a little bit, but there's one Birchas HaMitzvah we say after doing the mitzvah. You know what that is? The bracha on the Tevila of a Ger. When a Ger converts, he can't make a bracha ahead of time. Why can't the Ger make a bracha ahead of time? Because he's not a Jew yet. So when does he make the bracha? He makes the bracha afterwards. He makes the bracha afterwards. Says Chasam Sofer, Pesach is so alive for us that when we say Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, we really feel like we can't make a bracha yet. We really feel like we're not fully there yet. And you know what happens by the end of Magid? By the end of Magid, says Chasam Sofer, we finally feel like we've finally gotten here. So now we can make a bracha, like the Ger, make a bracha only after he comes in. Then you can really make a bracha. It's a bracha at the end because we all undergo the experience of a form of Geiras on Pesach night. It's so much alive. It's not content. It's not content. It's experience. It's experience of what the Jewish people went through and bringing kids into that story. We draw them in initially by having them ask questions. We draw them in by demonstrating for them that this is not just about requirements. It's about more than requirements. It's about excitement and passion and going above and beyond. And there's something awesome, awesome about that. That's what we're striving for in so many ways. And when they become part of it, they make a bracha at the way end. Parentheses. So Avedrik pointed out that the bracha that a ger recites afterwards is a very different kind of bracha than the normal kind of bracha that you say before doing a mitzvah. Normally, you make a bracha before doing a mitzvah. The Rav understood based on the comments of Rambam and the Gemara in Bracha listing in Daphne and Aleph or so, that normally you make a bracha as almost like an act of permission from Hashem. Like Hashem asked me permission for me to go to do the mitzvah now. When you make a bracha afterwards, so you can't ask permission after you've done something. You can't borrow, a car from someone and then ask permission afterwards. What's the bracha afterwards? The bracha that we said after is a bracha on a new chalos. It's a bracha on a status change. It's a bracha on an increase of kedusha. And when the ger now is a Jew and has increased kedusha, a new status, and then he can make a bracha. Seder night is a similar phenomenon. A person goes through Magid. You're reliving Magid. You're reliving Yetzias Mitzrayim, living the story of our people. So at the end, now you're making a bracha. It's a bracha, which is a new chalos. It's a new reality. It's a new metzias that you now have. You're a totally, totally different kind of person. One step further in Chasam Sofer. One step further. We're almost done. Manash anu halaylos emi kol halaylos. Shebechol halaylos anu ochel chametu matzah.
Halayla hazeh kulo matzah. What is that question about? You ever wonder that? Shebechol halelus ano ochlin chametz u'matzah. That is not a home that I want to be in. I'm not looking for a chametz and matzah kind of experience. I'm looking for a chametz kind of experience all year long. And we'll have a little bit of matzah here or there as, you know, for kicks. What shebechol halelus ano ochlin chametz u'matzah. So the way that some mefarshim understand it, al pi pashtus, is that every night we're allowed to eat either chametz or matzah. But on Seder night, we're only allowed to eat matzah. Okay, that's one shot. They quote from Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was medayik in this about the minhag. From when do you have to stop eating matzah in advance of Pesach? So it sounds like shebechol halelus ano ochel chametz matzah. Other than Pesach night, sounds like really every night you really could have matzah on some level. And maybe it's only an issue of erev Pesach. That's a discussion that comes up there. Says the Abar Benel, though, the question really doesn't make that much sense. What's going on? So please stay with me. It's so good. It's a Torah from the world of karbanos. There's a kind of karban that you bring when you want to say thank you to the Ribono Sholem. When you want to say thank you to the Ribono Sholem, you bring a karban called a karban toda. It's a thanks to Hashem. You know what happens when you bring a karban toda? Aside from the karban itself, you bring something which is called lachme toda. When you bring this karban of thanks to Hashem, you bring lachme toda. What are lachme toda? They're loaves of bread, a combination of chametz and matzah. What do you do with the lachmei todah? You give them out and you share them with people also. It's a lot of food to eat in a small amount of time. So you have your karban todah and you're sharing your lachmei todah. You're creating a whole experience to say thank you for Hashem for all that you went through. Says the Abar Benel, that's the question on Pesach night. Manish tana halayla zeh shebechol leilo, shebechol leilo anu ochlin chametzu matzah, i.e., normally, when we're saying thank you to Hashem, that's what we're doing Pesach night. We're saying thank you to Hashem for what happened in the past. So don't we say chametz u'matzah? Shouldn't we have the lachmei todah, which are combinations of chametz and matzah? This is the night of saying thank you to Ribono Shel Olam. So shebechol halelos, whenever we say thank you, we usually do it with both chametz and matzah. That's part of the process of saying thank you to Hashem through the karban todah. That's normally what we do. One way of saying it's almost saying, isn't the carbon Pesach in many ways? It seems like maybe it's a little bit connected to carbon Todah. They both are versions of Shlamim, maybe. They share a lot of, they're both eaten by Yisraelim. There's a lot of overlap, a lot of overlap. So what's the answer? Halal hazeh kulo matzah. Why is halal hazeh kulo matzah? It's such a good Torah. Says Chasam Sofer, the question assumed that Pesach night is a night of thank you. Night of thank you to Ribono Shel Olam. So we said, it's night of thank you, the carbon todah, what should I bring? Chametz u'matzah. Chametz u'matzah. That's what you bring as night of thank you. Says Chasam Sofer, no. The carbon we're bringing and the goal, it's not analogous to a carbon todah. You know what carbon it's analogous to? The carbon of the miluim. What's the carbon of the miluim? When we first consecrated the Beis HaMikdash, when we first went to do a vote in the Beis HaMikdash, we brought a series of carbanos to get us started in worshiping in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara Menachos says the miluim only come from matzah. The miluim are only matzah. Says Chasam Sofer, you know what the shift was? What's Pesach night really all about? The kid in the beginning says, normally you say thank you. You bring carbon toda. Hashem, thank you for what you did for me. You know what the response is? We're not bringing carbon todas. The goal of Pesach night is not to say thank you for the past. You know what the goal of Pesach night is? Karban miluim. This is the beginning of a journey. This is the beginning of something. We're beginning the mikdash right now. And that we do, the miluim, is only with matzah. There's no chametz in the miluim. We're beginning something new. We're beginning something exciting. We're beginning something fresh. For the Chasam Sofer, this in many ways sums up what Pesach night is. Pesach night's a highlight, but it's really the beginning. It's the beginning. It's a night which is mesugol lahasrish bilibenu. It's a night which is dedicated, which is set aside with a unique power for us to experience and to internalize values of Torah, and we do it to bring the kids in. Kids, even though they aren't chayev, kids by having them ask questions, kids by showing them that even if we're not obligated, we want them to be involved. We love their bonus so much. We want you to do it, not because it's an obligation, not because it's a chiyah, but because we need you to do it. It's so awesome. We're so much in love with all which is taking place, that we're so into it, that we're so into it. It's also a night where we're undergoing an experience to have them go through this. feel in the beginning the mitzchila of the avodah zarah, and at the end you've emerged, and now you can make a bracha, and now you can make a bracha la'achar, because you're like a ger who's come out of it, you're like a person. It's like you're a new person right now. It's a totally new experience, and the part of the golden night is it's not the night of carbon todas. It's not the night of saying thank you for the past. It's night of the miluim. We have a lot of work to do, and we're just getting started. It's the beginning of a journey, not the end. It's just an amazing idea. It's an amazing idea. My wife's grandmother, I'm very fond of pointing out, I had minimal exposure, you know, this will end, I guess. I had minimal exposure to Holocaust survivors until I married into my wife's family. The grandparents were all, her grandfather already passed away, but her two grandmothers and grandfather who were survivors. And it was very powerful and very, very unique. Her grandmother passed away less than a year after we were married. She knew that I was pregnant with Chaim. It was very powerful. I remember going to the hospital a bunch of times. She was a remarkable woman. So I remember one of the things that she used to always say, one of the things that we've quoted my family a lot around COVID times, because she used to always tell my wife when she was a kid, if she did badly on a test or something, my wife would say, it obviously didn't happen. But like if she was having an off day in school or something, I think she would often tell my wife, like, don't worry if you missed a little bit here or there. I missed from fourth grade to 10th grade. It still worked out okay. You know, Holocaust. You know, I missed fourth grade to 10th grade, whatever it was. And like, it's fine. You know, you can still get by in life. So I've been telling that my kids a little bit about COVID. You know, my kids out of school for a little bit. It's like, Miriam missed a lot of grades and it worked out fine. You know, can miss a little bit. There's a lot of resilience that we're able to have. My wife's grandmother used to say sometimes, I think she wrote this even in one place. It was so powerful that the Seder night, you know, ends with a Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. Ends with a Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. Sometimes you can relate to that as being a bit of a throwaway. You know, it's at the end. It's like near to time already. Like, you know, everyone's like moving on a little bit. Some people are still singing and some people are already like clearing the table and like, you know, getting ready. I don't know what your Seder's like. Maybe I'm projecting. But sometimes it's like, you know, it's like towards the end a little and people are checking out a little bit. Not true. Whenever we remember a zechira of a past event, it's always so that it will inform our present and inspire us towards our future. Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim is the ultimate climax to Seder night. It's Chasam Sofer Torah about the Miluim. It's not a night of remembering historical content. Okay, it's one thing. It's a night of understanding that what we went through and that we're in the middle of a story which is still unfolding. And it's a story which we're looking towards the future of a Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim, and what's our next step? Our next step is Geula. It's a night of Miluim, it's not a night of Karban Todah. It's a night of Mitchila and Basof. It's a night of transition. It's a night of we make a bracha at the end, because now we're a different kind of person. It's a night where we're taking people through a process. It's a night which is awesome. Done right, it's transformative. Done right, it reverberates and impacts later. And at the end of the Seder, we've gone through this entire experience, all we can think about is Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. And next year, we want even more. This is the beginning. We want even more. We're pushing ourselves for more. We aren't satisfied with what we've had, but we're in the middle of a journey. And great people understand that even when they're in the middle of a journey, that they're only in the middle of a journey, and that the goal is the next step. Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim is the highlight of the Seder. It's the purpose of all of it. It's to get us to that particular point. Hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.